Okay, call our meeting back to order. And I see some faces here, so we'll start on our sick leave. Is that what you girls are here for? Jim had made comment that he was going to work on something.
Right.
And so I'm going to throw it to you.
Okay.
I mean, are you ready, I hope?
Sure.
Good.
I think. Do you guys have a copy of what I created? We can get some copies. Could you make some copies? So I'll just kind of recap where we got, how we got to this point. Obviously, there's been some people who have some needs in the county that are employees that have ran out of sick time, ran out of vacation time, comp time, and we're looking for avenues to help them from employee to employee, but trying to find the legal way for the county not to be, you know, too responsible, I should mean, too exposed financially or to that. So we looked at, first of all, the sick pool policy, which by far seems in concept a good idea, but when we drug into it, looked at it, a lot of avenues for discrimination, you know, who gets it, who doesn't get it. Also, there were some other concerns about, one's popular, one's not popular. There's just a lot of concerns, and the trend across businesses is go away from it because of the abuses possibly of it. So what we also, at the same time in our last discussion, talked about how do we reward those employees that are not sick? You know, those who are looking for ways to, for us to encourage those who are being healthy and all that. So, and talking to other businesses, not so much counties, because I would be honest and look at other counties, it's about 50-50. Some counties pay sick leave. Some, they actually do away with the word sick. They do personal days. And then the other thing is that a lot of them, about half of them, don't pay at all, but their policy is differently to reward healthy employees. So it came back to is, this seemed to be kind of the consensus of our last meeting, was to change the way we look at our policy when it comes to sick leave and all that. And so from the legality and talking to Bob Paulson, who's not here for the next 3 days, we kind of went through some things, what was it earned and what was accrued. So you'll see some wording in there. It's not worded perfectly. It's not a final draft, meaning the wording, because it's, we got to make sure we include some words and some words we don't. You know, it's got to make sure it reads properly. And that's something the commission has to decide if we're willing to pay, because it's the financial responsibility of the county. I mean, there'll be a financial burden to the county because if we start paying sick leave. So you guys haven't seen this. I mean, does everyone have a copy of that? Maggie, did you get a copy of that? Okay. So what we're trying to basically say is we – in this draft, and once again, I'm not sensitive to if it's a bad idea, we'll just throw it away. But what we're trying to do is, first of all, make sure the employees that are accruing sick time, they keep it so that if they get sick themselves, they have some avenue to back up to protect themselves. So what we say is you accrue on this draft and under the sick time contribution part, after 96 hours, that's accrued. On the 97th hour, it becomes earned. And that would be the first hour of earned, because we can't pay accrued time. We can pay earned time. So kind of the terminology. And so when I word it, in this proposal, we would convert the 97th hour and beyond as earned, and then we would pay a net 50% of that earned hours over and above 97 above. So the 97th hour would actually be 1 hour of earned time, so 50% of that, you would have option to be paid out. And that's when how I worded that. So if you understand the earned versus accrued, that makes sense, everyone? Like I said, it may not read very well. Part of the concern, we have a lot of employees that have hundreds of sick hours, and the county can't, I don't know if, I didn't want the county to be paying 400 hours of sick leave in 1 year. So in here and talking to some other just individuals, you would only pay out a total of 100 sick hours a year. If you look in here, I can read it right here, and just to if you guys, are you guys reading it, or do you want me to read it out loud or discuss it? How are you going to do this, Chuck?
I'd like to just kind of go down through it.
Okay.
And just start out. And
okay. Well, let me just.
First question.
Okay. Well, let me just. Sentence. Sick time is, you know, we didn't have a policy. And let me just read the first, the comp time contribution. Any employee earning comp time may be elected to contribute to any other county employee hourly designated of the recipient. It must be made at the point of contribution. The computer need to fill out a proper paperwork in the Human Resources Department. Right now, Don's got that form, and I think we just recently used that form, something similar to that. The department will do an interoffice transfer of funds, and the recipient will be responsible for all applicable taxes. The difference in that would be you don't cash out, pay taxes, then give the money, because that's really not the recipient. The ultimate taxes are for the recipient. If they received it, they should pay the taxes. So in that scenario, we don't have a formal policy about it, so I put that in writing as a draft option, meaning if you wanted to transfer 1 hour of your sick leave or your comp time to the other person, it would be basically a tax-free transfer, but when that person cashed it out, they would pay the taxes for that item. Rick.
Great concept. You need to make sure you put something in there about whether it's actual cash value transfer or whether it's hourly or hourly.
Yeah, okay. And yeah, I know it would be cash value, but it would not be an hour for hour. So because you may make $5 an hour, you may make $6 an hour, we're transferring the cash value, not the hours. So it's the conversion would have to be done in the right now the auditor's office to convert it over. So that I will make a note of that. But so what that does is that gets people the ability to transfer comp time without paying taxes on it. Because people,
yes, sir? Other questions, comments? That's a good one, Rick.
That's different than what we've done.
Correct.
Yep.
Okay.
But it's close. I mean. Right.
Right. But when we run into before when we talked about this and when there was transfers that came before us on the trading at the time, wasn't there some legal issues that made us go the other way?
As long as the taxes are paid, we're legally fine according to Bob. I mean, that was really the biggest thing is as long as, you know, the what we don't want to do, From a business perspective, I would prefer them to use comp time right away because if they get a pay raise next year, we pay them on that new salary level, not the old salary level. So this would encourage maybe lowering the overall comp level down possibly and paying them out at a current rate because there's some people who have lots of comp hours that may have made it last year or the year before, and that's a different hourly rate. But as long as the taxes are paid – and Bob's biggest thing was we don't have a policy one way or the other. So our current kind of pseudo policy was if you're the comp person using the comp hours, you just cash it out and give him the cash. That's because that was our pseudo policy, not because it's a legal one way or the other. It's according to what Paulson was telling me.
Okay.
From that perspective.
All right.
As it relates to comp time, but I did note the whole concept was the dollar figure, not the hours, because they would. Obviously, it would be a one for one. By the way, because we comp time is earned; it's owed to you. So we can't discount that 50% like sick time because sick time is accrued. So that's why comp time would be an hour for hour payout, if that makes sense, or if I'm explaining myself properly. Okay.
Questions, comments on that anymore? Comp time. Okay.
And basically, that's just a clarification of what we've kind of done, but we didn't have a policy on it. Okay. So this is where. Right.
So you're going to get more money to transfer to give to somebody than what you
do. Before we go any farther, if you want to say something, why don't you come up to the mic because there may be others that want to know.
We may have some people listening. I don't know if we do or not.
Three.
It's probably Dixie. Hi, Dixie. Hi, Mary. And hi, Jillian. Let's see if I get this right. Okay. Oh, is it Helen here?
Yeah.
Helen, Jillian, and Dixie. Sorry. Now I'm 100% right. Okay. All right. Moving on. This is where we will have some I mean, this is some random. I just picked some numbers because we really didn't come to a consensus the last time we met. So I just threw some numbers out and then hoping you guys, we get feedback on that. Any employee qualifying for sick leave will accrue the first 96 hours of sick time. On the 97th hour and beyond, those hours will be converted to earned hours and assume a cash value of 50% of their accrued amount. So at that point, we could, oh, Dixie's there now. We are converting, at that point, we're converting those hours. For 97 and beyond, they start accruing at a cash value of half. So that's kind of the legal stuff that Bob was coaching me through from that perspective. Any employee accruing sick leave must have 96 hours remaining after any contribution is made. That is to prevent from you guys, from anyone having a big heart and giving all their hours away and then they get sick unexpectedly and then all of a sudden we're having to do this for you. And the whole purpose is to contribute over and above so the healthier employees would be able to contribute.
Let me stop you right
there. Yes, sir.
That has happened.
Yeah.
That has happened.
I can imagine.
I mean, in the county employment, we've had people that have big hearts that have wanted to donate and then they became... and basically what this pertains to is catastrophic illness or something like that is what we're trying to help people with.
Right.
And then they have to have going for surgeries and things like that and leaves them in an awkward position because they've already give their time to somebody else. So we have just voicing.
Yep. And that's part of the feedback is that some of those people have done that in the past. Yes, sir?
Don brought this up, so this is Don. But are we going to be able to donate between funds, Roden Bridge to GCR, GCR to Roden Bridge?
We should be able to. I mean, Bob thought we could, but I mean, that's one of those things that we're going to have to.
Since it's so, that person's time, I think we can too. We
right.
need to make sure that
once it's he said once it's converted to an earned dollar figure, we can then do what we want with it. If it's accrued, we don't have that flexibility because it owns that department. So that's where he was saying if it's once it becomes earned, it's like comp time. And we can then do what we need because it's that person's entitled to that dollar figure at that point. Any employee to donate any hour, must designate the recipient and must be made a point of contribution. That basically is saying we're not going to have a pool. This is going to a one-to-one. We're not creating a pool of a what-if. You know, and we wanted to get out of the pooling situation where then there could be saying someone else has to decide who gets the hours and who doesn't get the hours. Once that contribution is made, it's no givebacks, no takebacks. You know, if they get, they get well the day you contribute, that hours are still theirs. You can't take them back because you're contributing at that point. So there is no pooling process. So if everyone decided to one day give 1,000 hours to that one employee and they only needed 200, that employee now has 800 extra hours, and there is no pooling. There is no, because we wanted to stay away from legalities of pooling, because then if there's a pool, there has to be a committee to decide where the pooling goes. So that's why, and in making it easier on the accounting, they just mess with that transfer one time and not multiple times.
We do have a max on our comp of 480.
Right. We'll have to deal with that.
480
on sick.
Yeah.
Right. What this will probably do is, the cash out, though, they can cash out themselves. You know, that's the thing. They can cash out if they get to 480 and don't use, I mean, if they're at 490, I mean, that 10 hours is owed to them at 50% of that dollar figure that year. So that what this is going to do is force employees, if they manage their sick leave, they'll cash out at the end of the year what they can up to what we'll get to the next sentence, which is 100 hours.
So you're saying that if you don't want to cash your sick time out.
Mm-hmm. It's use it or lose it is our policy. And so if you either donate it or cash it out or you lose it at 481 at the end of the year, end of the calendar year.
Okay, but 480 is on sick. I'm with you.
We may lower 480. That was a conversation. 480 is a pretty big number because how many weeks is that? Is that 12 weeks? Is that 48? I think that's what because it kind of coincides with the FMLA or the FLS as the FLMA Family Leave Medical Act. Yep. Okay, so the contribution rate will be 100% of the adjusted cash value. Basically, you're going to transfer cash value of the 50%. So what you will do then is say, I'm going to donate equivalent to 10 hours. That 10 hours would be actually 5 hours. The dollar figure of that, then that would be transferred. Once again, the same rules. The recipient would be responsible for the taxes, not the contributor. And here's the other thing that may or may not be controversial. A maximum of 100 hours of sick time per employer will be allowed to be contributed. So no more than 100 hours per employee. You can't give them more than 100 hours out. Now, I think you're given or you earn or accrue 96 per year. Is that correct? I think that's right. You accrue 96. So really it's for these employees that have been here for more than a year and really haven't been sick. So the whole process is we're trying to, you know, we just got to make it fair, and we also got to make sure we protect the employees that they don't give away everything that they out of a good heart and then get sick. The department will do an interim for transfer of funds, and the recipient will be responsible for all applicable taxes. And then the BAS cash disbursement, that was kind of Don's thing, is if you don't want to contribute or give to somebody else, unused earned sick time will be paid out at 50% of accrued amount, and a maximum of 100 hours will be paid out. The employee accruing sick leave must have 96 hours remaining after any cash disbursement is made. So that's kind of the summary of everything that we've been talking about that legally sounds to be the fairest. Now, the biggest controversy that we've got to talk about or discussion is financial burden on the county. How much is this going to cost us?
On that last one, you can probably put a time when it would be paid out.
Okay.
Because, you know, we don't want to have to pay out some this month. Let's do it all.
This December?
Yeah. Probably the last paycheck in December would be the best time.
So you're saying anybody that's got 200 hours on there, they can cash in 100 or 480, anything over 480, or do you have to build up to 480?
No. What I'm saying is you build up to 96, and on the 97th, you can cash out anything over 97 and above. But what we're saying is we're limiting that to a maximum of 100 hours per year. So that's why I don't want to – the county doesn't need to be writing a big, big checks this year. We need to kind of spread it out over multiple years.
I think a problem that we might have with some of this is – that we need to make that check time be a payout in November. We work on a skeleton crew throughout the month of December. Usually everybody
takes their... And this may be Christmas bonus money, too. This may be Christmas money.
Takes
so.
Their time off if they have any...
Their holiday.
Accumulated time, vacation, personal days, whatever, they take it through that time frame. Am I making any sense?
Because we got so much to do at the end of the year, I think that November would be a better time than December.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I think that that trying to figure everything, get everything in place by December the 15th, which all departments have to have their...
So last paycheck of November? Is that what you're thinking? Dawn's shaking her head. She'd like the first paycheck of November. I'm going to put the first paycheck... First paycheck of November, if you're going to cash out. That's all we're talking about is cashing out. Okay.
What happens to the sick time that's already on the books? We have quite a few of our employees, deputies, and et cetera, that are right now at 480 hours. We're not going to lose any of those because before when we changed up from 480 to 240 back up to 480, we didn't get those hours back that we lost. So my concern is now that those that are sitting at 480 or whatever have you currently right now, we're not going to lose that. They can cash that out if they want to right now.
If they're at 480, they have an option to cash out 100 hours this year, which would break them below the 480.
But my concern is that we're not going to lose hours again. So many of us lost hours before.
How many have a lineup? Guys, really need you around microphones for the other people to hear if we can. I know you don't want to be on the microphone. Otherwise, we're bringing these microphones and sitting with you guys, so we'll get you on the radio here one way or the other. I understand what you're saying, Meg. I think it's resolved because we're not affecting any current balances. We're just, at that point, doing a cash conversion. So,
all right. Go ahead.
You're going retroactive on the payouts?
Well, basically, we would say at this point, wherever the balances are, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you have 480, you have 100 hours eligible, which is, round numbers, it's 50 hours of cash. It's basically we're going to give you a week of paid a week of salary.
Jim
is the most we'll pay.
And all I'm doing is looking for the
shoot holes in this. That's fine.
Let me just as we had spoken to us earlier that these are benefits,
right?
These are so what I don't want to do is I want to know what the cash figure this is going to cost the county. We're at budget time, so we're going to have to know that figure of accumulated hours by.
Well, you're basically going to it's going to cost us an extra week of salary for every employee that's going to cash out 100 hours. Is that right? I think if I did my math right.
Anybody that has that.
That balance.
I've only got one of these, but this is everyone right now that's at the at 480.
Okay.
So you kind of know those employees.
We're talking about 50 employees or so?
She's got a list there.
I don't remember. Yeah, it's a little bit more than 50, I think. Well, yeah.
And be aware that just because somebody's not at 480, they may still, I mean, if they've got 300 hours, they may want to cash
out.
I mean,
100.
Yeah.
Anything over.
Or they may, you know, they may not at that point. I mean, it sounds to me like they have that option here. And without numbers in there, you're looking at numbers. You know, he's talking 50%. You could change that to, you know, I had one of the elected officials said, oh, we shouldn't pay out any less than 100%.
Right.
In my mind, I think that we're offering a benefit here, and the financial situation we're in, we shouldn't offer any more than 50%.
Well, and I've always worked at employees that did 50% because they're trying to reward healthy employees and people not to abuse the system.
Yeah, but what about the people that aren't abusing the system?
Correct.
You know, we're getting screwed. Different.
Well, but right now your policy is $0. So, I mean, 50% is better than nothing.
Yeah, wouldn't you rather have 50%?
I mean, that's... Right, no more than 100 hours per year, because the county doesn't want to write a check big. I don't want the burden of the county to be that large every year.
But you're, then we only get 50%, right?
Right. But okay. You right now, you're at 480.
Microphone. Just walk over to the microphone.
So if you cashed out 100 of yours, you'd still have 380 that you could hang on to, and maybe cash out another 100 next year, or you could, if you need
to
use next year.
Be able to carry that over.
Yes. Yeah. Anything up to 480 is what.
Right. We're not right now. We're not dealing with adjusting the 480 number. I don't think that's even been a discussion right now, because that's kind of the stopgap between the FLMA, which is the 12-week leave. So the whole thought was not mess with a cap of 480. I mean, you got to remember, the whole concept was, how do we help some of these employees who are just got catastrophic illnesses or catastrophic car accidents that need some sort of income because they're struggling right now because there's no money coming in. It's less than 12 weeks, and they've used all their vacation, all their comp, and all their sick. I mean, ideally, it'd be great if the county could pay 100% of what your sick leave is. But right now it's zero.
You'd be losing hours.
Right, I mean, you're going to lose... So, I mean, the whole thing is, yeah, I know I talked to an elected official who said, I want 100% paid out. That burden is huge financially. I mean, 50% is still a chunk. And the other thing is, limit to 100 hours. I mean, you accrue 96, so given, you know, selling off 100 hours every year is kind of in line with what you're getting every year. And so there's some reward of being healthy. I mean, that's part of that, the whole trying to get an additional financial benefit to those employees. But I mean, the thing is, we're not trying to penalize anybody. It should all be better for the employee and better for those persons who really could use a contribution right now. That's what we're trying to get, and get away from the liability of the discrimination possibilities of doing a pool or having outside people or the commission deciding you get the pooled hours and you don't get the pooled hours, which is how it's been in the past. It really needs to be less political and more specific to that need. The individual contributor makes that
You make that decision.
You make the decision.
You make that decision.
We're not in the picture. And that's what it needs to be. It needs the person who owns it needs to be able to say, I want it to go to this person. So there's no third-party intervention in there whatsoever. And there's a form that Don's already kind of worked on for the comp time. We can easily convert to a sick and comp if we wanted to do that. I mean, there's still...
We're still in a work in progress. Now, we had I think we had three or four road and bridge employees that hadn't missed a day since they've been here. I mean, so those people is on the side that you're talking about, where you don't want to feel like you've been beat out of anything, they have missed a day, so they have lost after it got to 480, so that now they get paid half of that money, and their chances are, but now one of those employees that was pretty faithful to the county on sick leave had a major surgery this last year, and so that employee now was seeking ways to try to find out how they can come up with this extra dollars. As a matter of fact, they came back to work for a while and tried to build that up while they were back at work. So we're trying to protect the employee that has no sick leave used, and plus we're trying to help the employee that ends up in a situation to where they need help, and the members of the employment of Taney County has that opportunity to help them.
We have approximately, we have about 100 employees that have 240 hours or more on their sick leave. And we've got about, that's about what we're saying, about 100 employees about, and then we have another about 125 that have 100 hours to 240. So that's still a significant amount of hours, and that's a significant payout from the county's perspective. And this is the first formal we've had an open discussion, and I haven't run the numbers to see how much money we're talking, but we're basically, 200 employees, we're giving everyone an extra week of vacation is in a cash basis perspective, and that's what.
Because I don't want these people to get their hopes up, I can tell you, I've looked at budget, and I'm sure you guys may have too.
Yeah.
Looking at that, we don't want to pay out any more than what we have to, and I may be trying to talk you guys into going to 25%
sure.
or no more than 50 hours out. And it's not because I don't want you guys to get something. It's because I want to see the county balance their budget. And so we have to look at numbers
right.
like that. And that's
and
what Jim's
first,
saying. He hasn't looked at those numbers.
I haven't. I mean, this was a combination of conversations, of our meetings, and this is what it seemed like was pretty fair. I mean, from both perspectives. I mean, I looked at the U.S. Post Office's their policy. I've looked at other counties' policies. This is a first draft. The first formal draft, I would say, is.
There's lots of discussion here before we reach. We have to look at the budget for Taney County. If the numbers are anywhere close to what Rick has predicted in his first draft. We're going to have to look at that before we even make a decision on this situation.
And one thing I wanted
to...
What are you talking about?
When?
Rick's got some idea because he said he might think it's from the 50 to 25. What are you talking about? You're looking at this on how much dollars it is going to cost the county.
Well, we don't have a number yet. I mean, I can tell you this. We are comparing this... $150,000 to the county annually for this policy. Now we are comparing that to a county paid. I'm comparing it to a county paid short-term disabilities policy because that's what we're in essence doing. And so we've looked at those numbers too because really what we're trying to do is bridge the gap. Somewhere in there, even with the FLMA, you're only guaranteed a job. You're not guaranteed a salary, even with that policy. So we're looking at all the financial avenues to see what is best for the county and trying to figure out what is the least financial burden but still gets the services to ultimately what we're trying to do. And so I think last week got our first numbers for the short-term disability, and I haven't done the numbers, but I can't remember what the – it wasn't that much. It was a lot less than $150,000, I think, wasn't it, Rick?
I'm guessing, and I didn't really run those numbers either, but I'm thinking probably in the neighborhood of $90,000.
That's what I thought. It was $90,000 to $100,000 was a short-term disability plan. Well, in that case, then it would be cheaper to go that way, but then you still lose your sick leave hours, and we're not rewarding healthy employees. And then, once again, we weigh that decision also. So I'm looking at a bunch of different numbers and waiting to make sure I know what this is going to cost, but... I mean, it basically is going to cost us about $150,000 annually to do this policy. And, you know, versus a short-term disability, which is $90,000. And so anyway, those are some of the decisions we've got to work out. But this is the first time we've had a formal meeting on it. So.
But I did want to make that stress that point. We're trying to help you not lose your that you reward the sick people that might not have accumulated their hours. And this is strictly an employment benefit that you yourself make the decision on whether you want to apply that. And then you rebuild to your 480 hours or whatever we decide on at that point. But we have a serious, you can read the papers and you can see the economy. We have a serious budget issue with the total budget. So we have to talk about benefits to employees plus operation of the county.
But, I mean, my perspective, I'm committed to try to do something and try to do it as fast as possible. We have our first budget meeting kind of at 3 o'clock today, I think is what... We're having our first budget, but it's still the first round of budget review for next year. And, you know, there's a Supreme Court decision that happened back in August that affects our revenue to the county. So we've got to be... We're cognitive of that and trying to figure out where is our revenues, because it looks like our revenues are going to be down just because of that one ruling, not let alone what the economy's doing is just because of that. So, you know, we're still trying to balance we're going to balance the budget requirements and the pressures there, but also try to help the employees and do it as fast as possible.
Don just brought up to my attention, I think this is a good idea. She said some of these people out here I know are concerned about people that need that time right now. If you guys could approve the comp time thing, that would allow them to at least have that option, and then worry about the sick time on a later date, because the sick time is more complex. There's more numbers you got to deal with. The comp time,
we owe it to them. It's theirs.
It's theirs. We're not paying out any extra money that we don't have before. I mean, to me, it's not a factor in the budget like the other one is.
I'm fine with it. I was thinking somewhat the same. That's good. And then also, if we pulled the middle paragraph out, which applies to the sick leave, until we have time to look at the cost of paying out the 50%.
What would you transfer, though?
What do you mean? Unless you really make it theirs and they know what it is, you can't.
Yeah, because it's not theirs. Right now, it's accrued, not earned. We'd have to convert, and that's part of the whole policy of the sick, is that we have to convert it to earned. And at what point, what's the cash value of the earned sick leave is really the debatable number. Is it 100%? Is it 50%? Is it 25%?
All right, let me ask you a question. The middle paragraph there, it says the contribution rate will be 100% of the adjusted cash value.
Right.
So does that mean if you've got sick time that you're contributing, say you've got 10 hours of sick time that you want to contribute,
uh-huh,
does the person that receives the 10 hours, are they getting 10 hours of sick time, or are they only getting 50%?
Well, the reason I underlined cash value, because the adjusted cash value is the earned, it's the new earned amount, which is 50% of the dollar figure, not the hours, but the dollar figure. So paragraph two really ties to paragraph one, and you can't really do one without the other. And that's the challenge, is that we got to establish a cash value, what that cash value is.
If there's no problem legally on the
comp time,
I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to.
Yeah, and then the only thing I would do on the make the motion here, but we're referring to not hours but dollar figures. I mean, I don't know how you else refer it to. And just, does that make sense, Rick? Or
unless you set the numbers in stone in the second part,
I
don't see how you.
No, this is paragraph one. I mean, all I got to make sure, I mean, not paragraph, the comp time contribution is 12.5.
The comp time
is long as I make it hours and not refer to hours but dollar figures, because we're not transferring hours, we're transferring dollars.
Let me be sure I heard you right. So if you're contributing sick time and you've got, again, you got 10 hours you want to contribute, you're not contributing 10 hours, you only have 5 hours to contribute.
the dollar figure.
Which is 50%,
right, the dollar figure of, but right now, they don't, right now, on the books, there is no, they don't own any sick leave. It's accrued, not earned. So.
I understand that, but we've, you're contributing time.
No, cash.
No.
Not, well, but you're contributing your sick time that you're not, that you want to.
Yeah, like on comp.
I don't see why we're just doing half, is my point.
Well, whatever the employee's hourly rate is, like if their hourly rate, they had 10 hours they wanted to give and their hourly rate was $10, and you just transfer $100 over to them, right?
No, you'd only be, what I'm hearing is you're only going to get 50%.
You're only going to get 50 cents for transferring your comp?
No, no. Comp time is one for one. He was talking about sick.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Comp time is one for one.
No, I'm just talking sick. I'm sick. Comp time is not a problem.
$50.
We're not hours. It would not be. It'd be $50 in that example.
Just exactly the way they would collect it themselves if they want to collect the time and we want to reward good employees. It's exactly the same method. You get 50% of that time that you want to buy out at the end of the year that you would lose.
And Chuck, I think what your question is why don't we do hour for hour? Because you have to change it to dollar value, or it really doesn't have a value you can donate.
And we,
that's legal opinion.
And legal, we have to convert it from.
It has to be changed that way. Now, you could choose to do 100% if you felt like the county could afford it.
But legally, we have to change it from accrued to earned also. Earned. That's where the legal conversion has to take place.
Could you explain what you mean by earned and accrued?
Earned is owed to you. You earn comp time. We owe it to you. Accrued is not a financial burden that the county puts on its financial books. We don't owe it to you. When you quit, we don't pay you your accrued hours. We are only responsible.
Why? Because we did earn it.
No, sick time is not accrued. Sick time is accrued, not earned, based off of, I guess, HR rules and all that. It's not an earned item. It's an accrued item. And so we don't financially owe accrued hours. And that's why I'm saying right now there is zero burden on unused sick time because we don't owe it. Unlike comp time, we owe it and we will pay you either now or later, but we're going to pay it. And that's what I'm saying under this policy, we would have to have some sort of conversion and start putting a dollar figure with sick leave. At a certain point, it becomes an earned item where we actually owe it to you at that point. Because if we don't owe it to you, then you can't transfer it.
Actually,
but hang on just a second, Bill, because I've been at the policies that we had earlier that got shut down, so to speak, that wasn't the case. They didn't have to be earned. They were the accrued hours, and when they transferred them, they were transferred at 100%.
Correct.
And so Rick, I think, was saying that we couldn't do that. It had to be changed over to earn, but what I saw from the other counties, they were able to do that.
You can't do it when they're in different departments. Now, Road
I
bridge.
I can understand when you go to pay in the time, which I'm all in favor of us doing, then you got to do the changing it from accrued to earned so that you can.
According to Bob Paulson, let's say Jillian upstairs wanted to give hours to a Road and Bridge employee. That's part of the different departments. They can't do it because it's accrued. They have to be earned.
Exactly. But within GCR, you could.
Correct.
And that's what these other counties were doing. Right. So we're cutting that in half, which I don't like. Bill?
A couple of notes. Actually, I did check with Wage and Hour, and because there is no law with the state that says earned or accrued, there is no payroll rule on that. That was one of the things that I had brought up before in Illinois where I've been done HR. They do specify earned and accrued, but according to the state of Missouri, it's however you write your policy. Earned or accrued makes no difference in the state of Missouri.
Okay.
If you say you owe it to us, then you say you owe it to us. If you say you don't owe it to us, then you don't owe it to us, regardless of how it's worded.
Okay.
So it's however you write the policy, right, on whether the time is ours or whether the time's not ours.
Sure.
The other question I had was, if I'm going to donate time to somebody, why do I only get to donate it at 50%? To me, it's kind of, if I'm donating it to you, what's the difference between you taking it or me taking it? I'm entitled to be paid at 100% if I take my sick time. So if I donate it to you because you need it, Why do we differentiate the difference between me using my sick time or me allowing you to use my sick time? Either of which, I'm entitled to 100%. I understand the other side of it that says, you know, we have the use it or lose it policy, and I think that's awesome that you guys are thinking about paying a 50% instead of using it, instead of losing it. But if I make a donation, I'm entitled to 100% of pay. Just curious why you're saying I can only donate
50%. Financial burden. It would be hundreds of thousands of dollars. Where right now our policy is just lose it. I mean, you know, you say, I mean, I was informed legally that there was a differentiation, and I'll have to ask Bob and whoever he talked to, Ivan Schrader at Missouri Association of Counties, but I was told there is a differentiation.
I originally thought there was, too.
Well, I mean, that's who he researched it with. Because right now we're not paying anything, and really, I guess we've deemed it, your sick time is not yours, it's ours. I mean, if you're saying there's no cash value, we've deemed it as a the existing policy, there is no cash value to sick policy, the sick hours.
Correct. Only if you use
them. Only if you use them, right.
Use it unless you're really sick.
Right. That's the policy.
That's the big deal about
so
it.
So that's why it's at earned versus accrued. Maybe it's a technicality of that's how we're differentiating them ourselves internally.
Right.
I mean, comp is earned. Obviously, we owe it. Sick, we don't pay it because we deem it no cash value. Is from what I can tell.
Okay.
So,
well, I didn't know in the email that I had forwarded to all of you, I attached the response from Wage and Hour, and that's the only reason I brought that.
And I brought that to Bob, and Bob did some research, and he gave me other advice. So,
okay. I just
appreciate that.
Bill, you mentioned what I heard you say would 50% seem like a fair shake. And those other counties I looked at, 50% seemed to be the maximum, I think, that they paid. Some of them were down, like Rick, to 25. From your experience over there, is that the 50%?
Most employers that I see, it's 50% or not at all.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what basically what it is.
Good. Okay.
Let me take care of the comp time, because do you have a copy of this, Jim? I'm going to move that on section 12-5 that I'm trying to think where I would insert the dollar figure in here. the county hourly employee doesn't report a contribution. Maybe I'll just put a sentence in here. The contribution is the cash value. I'll just put that the contribution amount is the cash value, not the hours worked or the hourly. It's the cash value. So I'll move that we adopt under this document, section 12-5, compensatory time contribution. That's all motion. We adopt that with the one addendum that we are specifying that the transfer amount is the cash value, not the hours.
Second.
Questions or discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. All right, how about we set a time soon to come back on the sick time?
That's fine. Let's look at next week here. I know Friday's full. It appears that we have time on I'm sorry, I'm looking here. I don't know if you guys attending the governor's conference on tourism? I know there's something going on there. I'm going to say this. We're going to have to look at everybody's schedule. I think it's going to be Monday afternoon. We can post it because I know.
I don't say anything.
I mean, we could post it for 1 o'clock on Monday to revisit. Is that going to give you enough time to run some financial numbers?
How accurate do you want it to be?
Plus or minus, like in the Gallup poll, plus or minus
2%? That'd be good.
You need more than a couple days?
I can't get
it.
No way.
Yeah, I didn't think so. I knew. I was forgetting that.
I can give you ideas, but you know, there's no way anybody can give them plus or minus 2%. We don't know who's going to be sick, who's not going to be sick, who's going to cash in time, who's not going to cash in time. It's a big question.
Let's just repost it for 1 o'clock and see if we can't get some numbers.
Get some numbers.
Now, look, I'm sure everyone gets the agenda. If it gets moved, it's because we've got some conflicts. But right now, it looks like we're free at 1 o'clock on Monday, the 28th. So, and we'll title it sick leave policy again. And if
basically it would the comp time allows some of these emergency situations to be taken care
right.
of. And so the sick leave policy, I hate to stress this more than it's already been stressed, but we have to look at the budget to see what these dollars are going to cost us for operation of the county. I am a pro-employee person and have been since I've been in office, but we have to operate the county on a certain dollar figure to make each department. And we have had a discussion earlier about the growth of employment in this county just in the last 4 years, and we have to look at those dollar amounts before we consider this sick leave policy change. And I hate to be that blunt about it, but it just has to be that way. We have to operate, be able to operate this county with the additional employment of 5% per year. Is that what we've discussed?
Yeah, but, I mean, we're growing. The and county's so, growing at least at 5%.
So we have to look at that before. I hate to set it for Monday, have a same meeting, and not have the answer. What I would rather do is get the budget kind of in the general direction of where we know where there might be some extra money, just as I did last year in the workman's comp situation where each county employee received $500 because we saved that money on the their workman's comp. So that money was given back to the employee in a quarter an hour raise across the board. We have to look at those dollars for operation before we can look at the sick leave policy. Now, that's just this one commissioner's opinion. But if we're not operating, we're not getting any sick leave, we're not getting anything, so we have to operate.
Okay, 1 o'clock Monday.
I'm going to send the next one. Yeah, and we're good. That's it.
Thank you for being here. Got comments, let us know. All right, we've got...
Let's go to Horizon Hill. That may be faster than...
Yeah, it's pretty well done.
Okay, because I know the Transportation Board, and Randy, that's going to be a little more...
Randy got me a map. Frank and I visited just a bit. It shows what houses, and is it my understanding, right here it is.
Yes, sir.
It's all this.
Uh-huh.
And I did talk to Lonnie yesterday, and... told him that I thought that's what we were going to want.
Right.
And I guess the first guy that came and talked, or the other guy that came and talked to us was disappointed, thought we were being too harsh or something. But anyway, Lonnie's willing to go out there and work on it. We got him another copy of the...
Hold harmless agreement.
Yeah.
I still think that's the best thing to do, is that is those houses listed. I think that's the right thing to do.
Does the developer have any responsibility at all for storm drainage?
Long gone. Country Club.
Long gone.
That Country Club was off of a grant.
That's what I'm saying. The developer didn't pay a dime. The government fixed the problem, and I think that's what this is.
Do they have to? They're trying to sell lots in this individual area. Does government responsibility lay within?
What I understand was the only developer left is a fellow that bought a dozen.
He's not the original developer. It's changed. Everything's changed hands.
It's long gone.
Right.
There's no.
So I'm in agreement with those. Those are the lots. I think that's what we've said before. So I think we're just moving forward with the same.
I'm going to get this in the mail to him if that suits
you. Perfect.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do for storm control? I mean, it's...
Well, wouldn't you, Frank and I talk...
We get a disclaimer again.
Right.
Liability. So what are we going
to
do?
It may be easier just to pour real new curbs. That alone just may solve some of the problem. That would solve some of the problem, right? They're just redoing the curbs on that one side.
Yeah, drop it into a storm drain.
And then we've already got two designated lots that pretty much are the storm drains anyway, and we just run the waters to those storm designated areas. And
Plus, this is an old picture. I think this is, these are foundations. This is all built out and has been there for a while. And I don't know that there's any problems that are happening.
No.
And it's been there long enough that I don't think our exposure is there. It's just
if we redid the, I think if we redid the curbs, that would fall, that just that one side would fix a lot of the problems. It would at least funnel the water better. And takes, and but if the homeowner wanted to do it too, it'd be great.
Right. But again, they've been living with this for quite a few years, and there haven't been any severe problems.
Right.
We just want to protect the county from being liable.
Yeah.
When we looked at the cost of the curb construction based on the current lineal foot cost at that time, just off the top of my head, I want to say it was a significant number, like $50,000.
Right.
But as Mr. Pennell's stating, this has been developed for years now without any catastrophic flooding to their homes, maybe nuisance flooding to their homes.
Yeah.
But that's where the hold harmless comes into place.
Okay.
The other issue that's outstanding on this, I mentioned a little bit yesterday, was Mr. Tim Sonato from Mills Hollow Estates, where his biggest contention or problem is that people cannot drive through the Horizon Hills portion due to the parking situation, the narrow streets there. He is requesting or anticipating the county taking these roads in so that we can't place no parking signs on one side.
And the question I got is, can we not, it's a dedicated public road, can we not put up signs on it?
How wide is the road?
I don't know the answer to that. Mm-hmm. I'd rather not put any signage until we own the road.
Yeah.
And it's in the maintenance program because...
I don't know the exact...
Oh, we do.
Yeah.
We have signs now on roads we don't own.
Let's see why we couldn't.
I shouldn't say don't own. We don't have them in the maintenance program. We own all the roads.
I think we ought to ask. It's just my point to see if we can. I mean, the only reason the signs are there is so that the sheriff's department can enforce the law. I mean, it doesn't have anything to do with maintenance or anything.
Have you got the 24-foot driving surface?
I believe we do have 24 feet.
Standards.
The problem that we do have, the problem we're experiencing is if a car parks along each curbside, there's only enough room for one car to go by. If two cars meet in one area where there's a car parked along each curb, there's one of them has to wait. There's no...
Okay. If this isn't one of the four areas where we designated signage?
The neighborhood right before this one is called Meadow Ridge.
Okay.
And it is a neighborhood that has signage in it. This Horizon Hills is the next neighborhood behind that, and behind that is a neighborhood called Mills Hollow. So Mills Hollow residents and Horizon Hills residents have a difficult time passing each other in the road if there's a parked car on each side of the road.
Right. That goes back to a question that was brought before that should be addressed. Is a designated, you said there was unbuildable lots or lots that the drainage could go in?
There's some very steep lots there.
Okay. Is there such a thing as having designated lots for parking for certain areas where we have narrow streets that where your neighbor comes in, he has a lot to park in? I mean, they do those in...
Right. I think that's a great in concept for new things to be built in Taney County, but the lots that are left over in this particular situation would all need to be filled to create some parking. They're very steep.
That would only be probably a couple of three in here. I mean, they're just off the side of the mountain.
Yeah. Everything else is built on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with what you're saying.
You're good. You're going to mail that to Lonnie. And
I'll get to Lonnie.
So Horizon Hills, once again, once everyone, he does his thing, we'll...
He mentioned, just FYI, that he's got a couple of lots that people have vacated, foreclosure or something, and he's worried that he's, you know, what's he going to do? He may not be able to get them. But
I guess we'll address that when it's time.
Cross that bridge when you get there.
Okay.
All right.
What if we're going back and picking up pieces that we missed? The transportation board, something we could always talk about for grins and giggles.
I have I think I'm responsible for that being on there. And time constraints, if you don't want to, we can put it off. I did, FYI, make an appointment with Dean Krutoff, and I hope to visit with Forsyth and Hollister, too, maybe, just to see what they would like to see us work on if we do continue on, just from their point of view.
And just to let you guys know, I was asked that question, the status. I mean, obviously, last week there was a report that the Transportation Board was disbanded, which is not true. We just have chosen not to meet until we clear up our roles and the roles of the people. So, and I've talked to Mayor Rayan and I've talked to Dean about this, is that it's the fact is that we haven't disbanded it. We're just trying to identify what are we trying to accomplish with this. We only put on this agenda for 15 minutes, and you know, we left the last discussion with Frank with a bunch of criteria questions. You know, do we do a rate? Do we rate every need based off a rating system? I can tell you that in Northwest Arkansas, once again, that's the closest place I know that they have a transportation committee, and they have formulas, and they have a board, and they have a separate entity that's self-funded by multiple counties that does the master planning for all the road infrastructure. They have a huge, they're very clearly defined what their roles are as non-elected appointed positions. And if we wanted some guidance from there, I have an individual, if you wanted to talk to him, Chuck, just to see, you know, what they do and how they do it. Because someone asked me, you know, I'll pick on the East-West Corridor, why not? Is East-West Corridor the number one road in the Transportation Board's discussion? I said, well, it depends on what your evaluation criteria is. If it's safety, it can't be because it's not built. You would say maybe Fall Creek Road or Bird Road or whatever. I said, we've got to identify what is the, and that's part of the conversation I was trying to have with other people, is what is the focus of the group? Is it for economic growth? Or is that one set of roads and safety is another set of roads? And, you know, traffic, is that another one? And so those are some of the conversations that people are having with me, saying that's what we want to make sure you address, is if we say what's your number one, and that would help from the grant perspective too, if we said, you know, what's the number one road that has safety issues, we have a list and say, based off safety, the criteria, here's the number one road for needs because of either accident data or whatever. And so that's what people have fed me feedback, is like, you need to be able to differentiate what road is most important that way.
One document that I'd like to refer to, which I've studied from cover to cover, is the 1999 Master Plan for Taney County. In that plan, there is a subsection called Transportation. Under Transportation, all of these criteria-type things that we're talking about were established from the year 1994 until the plan was created in 1999. During the time of the formulation of those plans, there were four key players involved in creating the plan, one being MoDOT, one being Taney County, City of Branson, and what's referred to as SMCOG, or SMACOG. So I'd like for us to visit that master plan, because even though it is 10 years old, 8 out of 10 things that those four entities thought were significant and or in need of improving are still relevant today. And the East-West Corridor is mentioned several times as being a road needed from JJ to somewhere south of Hollister. So conceptually, the East-West Road is mentioned as the Branson Glades Road, and it is mentioned several times. But it was really interesting reading to find out that from a transportation perspective, we have a lot of things in there that have yet to be done, and they were identified as needs in 1999. And as a resident here and as part of my job, I see that those needs have not been met yet, and they haven't gone away. They've only got some are worse.
I think I have a copy of that. Do you guys have a copy of that? Because maybe we just use their criteria, at least as a starting point, as a document that we've paid for in the past, if nothing else, to see what criteria, how they rated those.
I think it's a great boilerplate or
starting point.
Starting point to begin with, because all of their criteria made sense then, and it makes sense today.
Okay.
The coffee, if I might say, came from my office.
Woo! You found it,
and
you found it because you moved.
Hey, I went right to it.
You went like this, and it was on the bottom. And when you unloaded your boxes,
well, that to your back to seriousness, that same question came to my mind: is in that plan, does it have these are the top priorities?
Yes.
Well, it does have it.
Yes.
So they have some kind of a system.
I mean, like obviously the county paid for it, so let's, versus starting over, let's just start with that. I mean,
I'd like to look at it.
Well, me too.
Because that's 10 years. Aerial of Taney County in 10 years ago will not even, you wouldn't even recognize it.
Right.
There's a lot changed. No doubt about that.
Well, I would say, Frank, why don't you get his copies and let's have another meeting, but this time let's schedule more than what we did.
Sure.
I'm all for it.
It will be interesting discussions. I agree, Danny, that the county has changed significantly since then, but once you read the document and the places that they've noted as needing improvement, you'll shake your head and say, yes, those places still need improvement.
Let's try to get this back on the agenda then, because is that right with you guys?
Yes, definitely.
I'll tell Jillian.
Maybe. So why don't we give it till
Wednesday or Thursday or Friday? Wednesday or Friday next week?
About Friday.
That would be the week of the 2nd. We'll try.
See what happens. Okay.
Okay.
We've also got on the agenda board members.
We do, don't we? We didn't post executive session on that, and I was really wanting to be able to talk about people's names. And
you had it on executive, and I remember Bob saying in the past that we couldn't, and I questioned him. He said we can't do that.
Because it wasn't employees.
It's not employees.
Wow.
Yep.
That's right. I remember that conversation. Now you're right, Chuck.
Since we brought this up in
this kind of
a month ago to discuss some of these board appointments, and then since then we've received some letters of resignation from Park Board and two new members needed. And then, Jim, as I remember, you opened your folder and looked at all the appointments that we need to make.
There's a few that are either we've taken care of two at the airport board that we identified, but I think there's more than just those two. I don't think we ever made a motion for the TDD to put me on the TDD. We talked about it, but I don't know if we've ever been motioned there, because that's the board appointment. There's some board appointments that have expired there too, I believe.
But we didn't do that, did we?
Yeah, the commission appoints one.
That's how
Ron was on there.
Somehow I got the notion that we don't appoint, that we can recommend to them, but that is up to them to appoint.
Well, I
hope you'll do it.
I'll go past that, but the other thing is I believe there was
either way, we
need I can pull the whole book up and just do the whole thing. I'm not prepared right now to do that because...
All right. Well, I'd like to make a motion. Just to throw you one right in your face.
I know you are.
You ready?
I don't know. I mean, I
make a motion that the commission recommend or appoint, whichever the case is, Jim for the TDD board.
Oh, that motion.
That, and I'll second that, and we can see where that goes from with their whatever that is.
Whether we appoint it, or it's just a recommendation.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Do I hear an abstain?
Aye. I can vote for me. Can't I?
I don't know.
You abstain.
You would abstain,
I
think.
You voted for an abstain. He said abstain, and you said aye.
I abstain from aye. I mean, I'm an aye. Abstain.
Motion carries.
Either way, I'm doing it.
2-4, one abstention.
Congratulations.
Is that all right? Thank you so much. Where's my acceptance speech? TDD. You're appointing or recommending for making a recommendation that I get appointed to the TDD. All right. We have 50 minutes before our
we've got the, you mentioned the park board, and I've got a letter on that one that Rockaway
Joyce Holcomb.
Joyce has resigned. And that their Jerry Sims would and they would like him, and he's willing.
Jerry's fine. I met him in the hallway. Would be my recommendation. Well, we have a real mixture of people that's in some of the other parts, but I want to make the recommendation for Jerry Sims. He's who
motion?
I would recommend. And,
motion, you say?
Yes, because I don't think they're going to have a quorum if we don't get
some.
And we've had two.
He's just active.
Oh, yeah. He
cares about the whole county and working hard in Rockaway.
Is he at Rockaway right now as the public the information officer or something like that?
I think he's on their park board. They have a park board of their own.
He engineered and designed the pavilions and things.
The Rockaway Beach, right?
Yeah.
You said Jerry Sims, right?
Jerry Sims.
Yeah.
I know him.
I think he's very qualified for the position, so I'll make a motion to appoint him. Although I think there's two other appointments that have to be made, but I will make that one for her resignation.
So I don't think Joyce, Jerry Sims.
For park board.
Park board. Okay. And he's the replacement for Joyce Holcomb, who's offered her resignation for too many irons in the fire. Second. Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Yeah, Jerry Sims is the Parks and Recreation Manager. Right here.
So, at Rockaway.
Yeah, he's right there.
Yep, that's
right.
Him.
It's like, I know him.
Hard worker. Okay, so we'll work on P&Z and whatever else later is out there.
I'm sending a note to Jillian to post it for next Friday for an hour for board appointments.
Okay, look and see what all those are that are due.
Well, that's what we're going to do. All right, yeah. Recess?
Recess, unless there's something else.
It's now recess.
We'll be back here at 1 o'clock.
Go on.
Yep,
that's
looks good.
All
right.
We're doing the budget at 2.
Is it 3? I thought it was 3. East-West Grant's at 2. That's,
yeah, the grant.
And Frank,
hey,
you've got...
Do we have something?
Yeah,
Frank, do you have something for us at 1?
Yes.
You do?
We have our regular weekly one-on-one with myself and your commission.
Wonderful. Because we head down to Coon Creek, but that was resolved, so okay. Good.
Did you guys do...
We have H1N1 also.
Did you guys award the bid on Coon today? Coon Creek?
No.
Not yet.
No, we're going to do that Monday morning in the Monday morning meeting. Monday morning, 9 o'clock, we're going to award the Coon Creek and possibly all the other issues. He's taking care of that right now.
We recessed, right?
Yeah, we recessed.
Maybe.